WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is EC3.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki. And what are the Bella Twins?
Yes, this is Broken Not Hottie.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap. And you're listening to the greatest rap.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host,
they've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
You can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I knew you'd come.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Rack Extra Reviews right here on WildTalkRadio.com, NXT TakeOver New Orleans edition. We're here. We're live. We're going to be talking all about NXT TakeOver, which just ended on the WWE Network. Holy crap. Just holy crap. That's the initial reaction. So I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
What time is it? Where are we?
I don't even know anymore, dude. I don't know. Yeah. But we're not alone. We are so not alone because joining us is the NXT analyst.
The NXT analyst, TJ Villamega.
I'm a man with a plan.
Can I take a swim in the lake of reincarnation?
Hi, Sub. How you doing? Oh, wait. Wrong show. My bad. So, am I going?
You're on the wrong show, dude. And no, Omega, you cannot take a swim in the lake of reincarnation because you'll disappear.
I need to be revived right now.
Only way you get to is if you bring Bray back with you.
So we have a new NXT analyst, JT Alpha, here on the rack.
Former personas.
Oh, Lord. And, well, we also have the assistant to the assistant to the assistant analyst.
Hailing from the lonely office in the basement, brings to us the hardest working man, working for the Eva Marie fan club, the assistant to the assistant to the assistant regional analyst, the intern, King Kittens.
I forgot about that intro, you asshole. God, go ahead.
Better than the other one.
I can play the other one. You really want the other one? I can fire that one up really quick.
No, I'm good. Even though it has Becky's music at the start, no, I'm good. Holy God, I need a day off after this.
The assistant NXT analyst. No days off. From thinking about all red everything. The intern, Kane Kittens.
Okay, now before he interrupted with that music, say that part again.
I said I might need a day off after this. Holy
shit.
I needed clean audio of that. Thank you.
Well, here's the thing. streaks die in New Orleans. So it would be
really, really. You have to bring that up.
Fuck! I hurt you.
Just saying.
You're fired.
I thought I was in trouble for mentioning the lake.
Damn. You know, I'm over the lake. If I could just get the bastard back on TV, I would be happy.
At the very least, she just wants access photos.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, so if you are in the sound of my voice, and you were at Access, and you met Bray Wyatt, please tweet us, because I want to see the picture. So, you know, anybody out there listening in Radio Lands that, you know, met Bray Wyatt in New Orleans, tweet us. Rack Radio Show.
Right.
You want pictures.
Right. You can tweet us during the show at Rack Radio Show, at Wild Talk Radio, at Lynn's Ward. Come over to wildtalkradio.com, rackradioshow.com, join in on our chat room, all that fun, good, happy stuff. Because we're here to talk about a thing. Oh, we're here to talk about a thing.
A thing that was NXT TakeOver New Orleans, and there were high expectations headed into this show. It did not disappoint.
There's a bar now that's set for these shows, and it keeps raising and raising and raising.
What bar?
They always
too high. It's too high up. I can't see it now.
But guess what? They keep jumping over that bar.
This is, I will say this, the last few takeovers haven't been as good. They have been good, but they have not been this level of good. And I think part of that was because there's sort of been a vacuum since the Superstar shakeup, where they took a bunch of the NXT talents when they split the rosters. There's kind of been a lot of voids there that they've been trying to fill. After tonight, the future of NXT is really, really sound. And I think we're going to see them go on the uptick again.
They filled that void so quickly from the first match on.
I mean, God. So before we talk about the first match, which we'll get there.
We'll get there.
We have to talk about the way this show opened, because God bless Hunter and his little metal heart that he just he loves metal so much. They bring in this band that did the official theme, or one of the official themes, for NXT TakeOver. They have them play it live, and they set it to the video package that opens the show.
Kane Hill, who did both themes for the show, was where one. They did It Follows and Lord of Flies for the show. Just for record.
What? I just can't get over the fact that they brought the band in just to play the music for the video package.
Hasn't been done in a long time, but that was pretty epic.
That was awesome. That was some rehearsals too, but that was awesome. So that kind of like set the bar of, oh, okay, we're going to see some stuff we have never seen on this show before. And that starts with the very first match, which was the 6-man ladder match for the North American Championship. That featured Killian Dane, Lars Sullivan, Ricochet, Adam Cole,
Bebe,
EC3,
Trouble,
and Velveteen Dream. I felt a little bad for Velveteen Dream in this match, just because he was kind of able to hold his own, but he was almost a little outclassed.
But he, you could tell, rookie, veteran, clearly in this match.
Yeah. Lars did okay as well, but Lars, again, just, they limited Lars in terms of what he sort of was doing. And I feel like they limited Dream a little bit too, and they left the really crazy stuff up to the vets, although Dream's dive off the ladder was pretty epic.
We'll get there. We gotta start with that dude, I think he was Prince Tiger or something from Lucha something, whatever it was.
Prince Mountain Lion
from... So, a minute into his NXT career, Ricochet, he almost overshoots to the guys on the floor with a shooting star pressed to the outside. Almost overshoot.
It wasn't like a shooting star. It was like, it's like a over the rope double knee press backflip.
He was a little excited.
He got some height. He got some spring off those ropes. That was pretty.
Lucha can't afford these springy ropes.
Cables, ropes. Anyway, there was that. And then what was the theme of this matchup, Lindsay? Big guys can fly.
Big guys can fly. They can fly through ropes. They can fly off turnbuckles. They can fly off ladders. And they can squish people into ladders. I mean, I said Lars was limited. He wasn't doing like anything super crazy, diving off a ladder, but he was squishing people with ladders. He was jumping onto people with ladders. He was throwing people into ladders. You get the sense of the theme. Killian Dane, on the other hand, Killian
was the crazy one.
He was the crazy one because he has the experience to be able to be the crazy one. He was just jumping off ladders. He was doing sentons into ladders. He did the dive through the second rope and got airborne. Every time I see Killian Dane, I get more and more impressed with what he can do.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Was it Lars Sullivan who threw the ladder onto everybody?
Yeah.
I think it was.
He threw the ladder and then ran into people with the ladder around his head and then threw the ladder again. Yeah, he just decided to use that as a torture device on people tonight.
Because I'm just going off my Twitter. I wrote, one ladder, five men knocked down.
Yeah.
That pretty much summed it up on that. And then you mentioned they kept Velveteen Dream Limited, but he went up high multiple times. Elbow drop here. Elbow drop here. Elbow drop. Elbow drop. Everyone got an elbow drop.
Yep.
And then
he found his inner Shane McMahon.
his inner Shane McMahon, his inner Jeff Hardy, went to the top of the ladder, as we told you on the preview show, and dropped a humongous elbow.
And it wasn't a regular ladder. It was the tall ladder, the one that they always like to use at the entrance of TLC.
Jeff Hardy ladder.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to climb that one.
Because for visual, they were above the belts. That's how far he jumped, how high he jumped from. He was above the belts.
Yeah, he was. But he went for it, and props to him for taking that. Major, major props, because you know that didn't feel good. But this match was everything you would expect it to be, and then some. It had, and this sounds so wrong to say, the perfect level of violence.
It did.
I mean, it really did. I mean, because for ladder matches, there has to be a level of stupidity there for it to really make sense and really work, and the level of stupidity was certainly there. The level of violence was there. These six men had wonderful chemistry. You had Adam Cole, who was taking every kind of whooping imaginable, every kind of bump he could take. He was taking it. Ricochet was taking bumps. He was flying everywhere.
Oh, he was flying. He really was flying.
EC3 was taking every ladder bump possible, including the set or the Vader bomb by Killian. With Adam Cole on his back.
There was that.
Yeah, that was epic.
EC3 hit a TKO off the ladder. He powerbombed, I forget, was it Ricochet into the ladder?
Yeah, I think it was.
I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the corner ladder.
The corner ladder spot. We talk about how Ricochet can fly. He was climbing the ladder. He gets pushed. The ladder gets lifted up. He flies backwards, does a moonsault down on the three guys on the outside.
That was beautiful.
The man is talented. The man is very talented.
And then we got crazy. Like, okay, we know the spots where they have the ladder, and then they wedge the ladder in the corner. Okay.
Oh,
they're
going to
do something. They're going to do something stupid. Well, go back to last TakeOver, where it was Ono and Dream and the rolling DVD. Okay, it didn't really work last TakeOver. So what we're going to do is we're going to put it on a ladder.
An unsteady ladder at that.
A very unsteady ladder.
10 seconds before, Dream's leg goes through the ladder, corrects himself, lifts a man onto his shoulders about 200 pounds worth, and then tries to move again. Jesus.
And it worked this time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did.
It was beautiful. I think everybody kind of lost their cool there for a second because it was like, holy crap, that was amazing. And I think that was like the general feeling of this entire match. Like before it ever even started, the crowd was chanting, this is awesome. They were hot through the whole thing.
Fight forever.
Their fight forever.
Fight forever chant was one.
Yeah.
Please don't die during the DVD spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was that. I liked the one spot in the ring. It was Sullivan, Dane, and Ricochet. Lars throws Ricochet.
It's good to know that Lars is keeping that tradition alive.
And then Dane's like, okay, I can do that. There you go. What one big man can do, the other can do. So one tosses him, the other tosses him. That's a theme that takes us to the next spot. We go to Omega's favorite ladders. The big ladders don't climb.
Mm-hmm.
One is laid out. And
oh, God.
Basically, he took, Lars Sullivan took EC3 with what, Adam Cole on the ladder?
Yeah, I think
so. So Adam Cole on the ladder and did the freak accident.
Oh, no, it was Velveteen on that one.
Oh, it was Velveteen and EC3. Okay.
Yeah, because Cole was
on the other one. Okay. So the freak accident with EC3 onto Velveteen Dream through the ladder. Okay.
Through the totally not wooden ladder.
Like I said, Omega's favorite ladders. Big man did one big man did thing, so other big man's like, I can do that. He does.
Anything you can do.
I can do better. I guess the best way is what? One's laid out. He has the other one on the shoulder. Sort of like a whoopee cushion Michinoku driver thing.
Yeah.
Through the other ladder.
Basically, he turned two people into one using a ladder.
Pretty much.
Basically. Best way to put it.
I just really kind of need the feud between Lars Sullivan and Killian Dane coming out of this. If I could have that, that would be tremendous. I don't think I'm going to get it, but if it's like this, I'm fine.
Then we have the ultimate struggle of two big men climbing that ladder. Wrong by slow.
Pity the boards underneath that canvas.
Me sitting here yelling, climb faster, you idiot!
And then we had the other four guys get back in the ring. And they all
with
were
their
just
own ladders.
With their own ladders, and all six men are trying to fight for it. Everyone's fighting for it. Who did the neckbreaker? Was it Adam Cole?
Velveteen took it, but I can't remember. I want to say Ricochet.
Might have been Ricochet.
No, because Ricochet did the cutter.
No. It was a neckbreaker. He didn't do a cutter.
It was the reverse neckbreaker. It looks like a cutter in the fall, but it was a neckbreaker.
Yeah, that was Ricochet and Velveteen.
Ricochet and that Velveteen.
Because after everyone started scrambling, they were two of the last ones on the ladder.
Yeah, EC3 was already dead, man, by that point. We're using his hashtag, RIP EC3.
Yeah, he was the bump monkey tonight.
He got killed in every spot.
Welcome to WWE. Bang, bang, bang.
Then in the end, fans didn't want Lars, but they got Adam Cole, baby, as your new NXT North American champion.
Yeah, it's like we're sitting... Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say hashtag points.
We were sitting here, and it's like we're watching it, and I'm watching this, and I'm like seeing everybody in the ring, and Lars kind of go for it, and I'm like, where's Adam Cole? We haven't seen Adam Cole in a while. Where is he? Then all of a sudden, he scrambles his butt up on that ladder and grabs that title, and it's like, oh, there he is, right there. But yeah, it's like, sorry.
I was saying, you wormy little guy, I heart you.
Yeah. But it's like you're watching this match, and Cole is pulling double duty tonight, which we talked about on Thursday, where he's doing this match, and then he's doing the tag match later, and this match went 40-ish minutes?
31:24 total.
Okay, 31:24 total. So for 30 minutes, he did this match, and he's got to go out in less than an hour and do the other tag match.
And tomorrow morning, he's got Tozawa at Access.
He's going to be like... be so dead by the end of this, poor guy. Like, we'll get to it, we'll talk about him when he comes back out, but yeah, just this match alone was brutal on him.
So just to give you, Triple H is doing a press conference, and he goes something to the effect of, it's hard to stop smiling, just based on this show.
He shouldn't stop smiling, this was an amazing show!
He's a proud papa right now.
He is a very proud papa.
These bastards went out there and gave it everything they had.
So between entrances, the opening performance, and the match, this was the first 48 minutes of the show.
Yep, worth it.
And we're done. Good night, everybody.
No, not quite.
See, no.
Not quite.
No, because me, my friend Sean, talking during this match, going, how do they follow that?
Well.
Stay tuned.
They follow that with the NXT Women's Championship on the line as Shayna Baszler took on Ember Moon in a much shorter contest. I feel like there isn't a lot to talk about in this match, but there is a lot to talk about in this match.
Let's start with the Ember's entrance.
Oh. She had a live performance.
Lizzie Hale.
Was that Lizzie Hale?
That was Lizzie effing Hale, because they said Hailstorm, and when I first saw her, I was like, oh, okay, it's a singer, and then they mentioned that, and instantly I went, holy shit!
I didn't realize it was Lizzie Hale.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that's what I put in the chat. I was like, Lizzie Hale! Oh my god!
I completely missed that. I'm gonna have to go back and watch it now.
It made it so much better, too.
She's changed her hair. Anyway, so Ember had Lizzie effing Hale to sing her to the ring, and then we had Shayna come out, and I felt a little bad for Shayna because she got no reaction when she walked out.
Well, we didn't really hear a reaction. You couldn't even hear any crowd because the music was so loud.
No, you heard a reaction as soon as they showed Ronda.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
But for the rest of it, it was dead.
But this match deserved better than to go on after that ladder match. But
yeah, it really kind of did.
But here's the thing.
It really did.
This is not the main roster where you can throw out Darren Young versus Titus O'Neil on a pay-per-view to, like, calm the crowd down.
I know. There has to be a sacrificial lamb after a match like that. But
and there was no other sacrificial lamb.
Yeah, I know. But this was one of those matches that had a psychology to it that the crowd was just too tired to pick up on.
And they really told a good story. They played back to the previous match. It was great.
It was fantastic. This match, like you said, it did all that. And honestly, I feel like they could have added a BS filler match in there somewhere to take the weight off of Shayna and Ember in terms of coming, you know, having to follow the ladder match, or done some kind of backstage package or something to put more of a buffer in between.
Yeah, just like a 5-minute breather.
Because the crowd really needed it, because they were so dead during this match, and the ladies really didn't deserve this, because like y'all said, they put on a fantastic show. There were a lot of callbacks. They went for it, and the finish was fantastic.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, the one thing I really liked about this match, the one thing I liked about this match was you saw a vicious Ember, which is something you hadn't really seen in things leading up.
I mean, like, just the eclipse on the outside, holy crap. Yeah. Just holy crap.
So, I'll let Omega speak in a second, but there was a point in this match where we're going back to the previous match where Shayna was going to stomp on Ember's arm, and then Ember turned it around and did it to Shayna, and then Shayna was selling that arm throughout this entire match. Best spot in this match was her quote-unquote popping it back in place by ramming her own shoulder into the ring post.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, see, I felt like the crowd wasn't picking up on that because the reaction was dead. Because that's a badass thing to do.
Because I don't think they understood it. I don't think they got it.
I said it in the chat. Like, part of the problem to that setup is you're attacking the elbow, and it's not so obvious that her shoulder is dislocated. If the stomp had been changed to, like, stomping into the shoulder, then you might understand it. Or if she sold it so that it was always dangling until she did that, then you might have something. But, I don't know, it's a great spot. Like, I love the story that it tells. I love how much it puts Baszler over as just incredibly tough. It just didn't have that good, it was just too subtle of a startup for the crowd to get into it.
It was better for television than live because they sold it on the announcement.
Yeah, the commentary needed that one.
And that's okay. Stuff like that, you're selling it to that audience, but you're also selling it to the thousands at home. So
right.
So it works. I loved all the knee strikes in this one. They just went for it. It was great. Like, LeMann says this match is subpar to other women's matches because it's different. Shane is different. And I think people are going to have to get used to how different Shane works. It's a more realistic type style in a way. But in another way, it's not. But it's a good style that's different. It's not the same move, like we see with everyone else.
She's not as much into the big spots, which I think people are used to with the women's wrestling. Like, you build into certain things. Shayna is just, like you said, very much more into a fight. She's not a wrestler. She's a fighter.
Yeah, like,
and that's the difference.
Yeah, like in the women's division, we haven't seen a striker. You know, like, you know, it's almost I would say more like another former MMA fighters, like a Ken Shamrock.
Well, it's like that, or someone that was in a match a little later on tonight. In a way, she has a black style, you know, striking, hard hitting kind of style. So it's just, like you said, I don't think it's something that they're used to seeing with the women. So,
and it's
just an adjustment.
Yeah, and Shayna will help with that, and we'll see what Rhonda does tomorrow, because I feel like Rhonda will have a similar style to Shayna.
Maybe.
And we'll see what Rhonda can do. But yeah, I mean, Shayna is not going to put on a 5-star quality match just yet. They're still sort of getting her to adjust and getting her where they need her to be and where they want her to be, and I think where she wants to be. And once she gets there, and once they find her that dance partner, because that's the other side of that equation, you need to find somebody that really complements that style, you're going to get magic.
I'll say this was Ember's best showing in a long time. She really stepped up her game. I feel like she's been coasting for a while. I think this was her best performance.
I just don't think there's been any good foils for her in NXT after everybody left for the main roster.
Pretty much, yeah.
So it's like she's had every reason to coast, and I think she finally stepped up her game here. But the finish.
Oh, God, the finish.
She locks in her the clutch of some sort. I can't forget the name of it off the top of my head. And she's trying to stop her, like, Ember's trying to stop her from, you know, getting her arms together. And because she's pounced on the already injured arm, Shayna's grabbing her own hair to keep her arm around the chin of Ember Moon, the rear naked choke. Yeah. So, yeah, that was tremendous. You don't see that.
Again, just such good storytelling.
And it's one of those things, the crowd can't tell that thing part.
Yeah.
Like, this was a great match for the home audience than the live crowd. Go ahead, Brent.
This was a good old-style psychology match, which is refreshing to see.
Mm-hmm.
And I think One of the things that I really liked about this match that I don't think some other people might not like was I liked that they made Shayna vulnerable. She spent half the match nursing that arm and, you know, she looked like a wounded animal at points where, you know, Ember's hitting stuff and she has that worried look. We're used to these big strikers or someone like Shayna just running roughshod over people, and this kind of ties into someone tomorrow. You don't need to have someone as just a complete unstoppable force. If you have them as vulnerable, it adds something to it. It makes it, can they be beat? Instead of just the assumption that all of a sudden, oh, they're walking into a match, they're going to be just roll over someone, 1, 2, 3, it's over.
Right.
Because we all know shit. Like, they're telling a good story. Shayna is dominant, but there's a flaw in her game, and everyone will find it.
Yeah. Like, we saw her with the first match with Ember, where she got overconfident. It ended up into a pin.
Rookie mistake.
Rookie mistake.
And what's really nice is you saw that Shayna learned from that.
Yeah.
And she adapted, and she was ready for Ember this time, and she wasn't overconfident like she was before. She was still confident.
Yeah, it's not like an Asuka where it's just, it feels predetermined that she could win. She feels like it's very hard to beat her. But since you see that vulnerability, you've seen her take a pinfall, you've seen her hurt, but we've seen her, like, literally her shoulder is out of the socket and she still won. Like, at that point, it's like, well, I know it can be hurt, but how do I actually do anything about it?
How do I capitalize to get the win?
Yeah, like, it's like the Predator. Like, I know it bleeds, but it's still the Predator. I know it could be killed, but I don't know how.
So yes, a new NXT Women's Champion, Shayna Baszler.
And I know a lot of people are not happy about this. A lot of people were very much wanted Ember to win. They wanted her to retain. Here's the thing. Ember was pretty much slated to be going up to the main roster. So this is, I think, Ember's farewell in terms of the title. They may give her a swan song match. I'm not sure, though.
She's on to bigger and better things.
Yeah, I would not be the least bit surprised if she does not show up in the Women's Battle Royal tomorrow.
All right, what's next?
Up next, after a 13-minute break, Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly come out.
Can we just cancel this? What's his actual quote?
Yeah.
Poor Adam Cole, he's backstage in the trainer's room. He's in so much pain. And O'Reilly's like, you good? You good? And Cole's just like, no. Not really.
Someone get the man a 5-hour energy now.
Poor Adam. He was not having a good night.
MVP of the night, though, honestly.
Oh, God,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
So, we're going to do the Dusty Classic now. It's Undisputed Era. Adam, Everything Hurts, Cole, Bebe, versus Kyle O'Reilly.
And Kyle O'Reilly. Yeah.
Versus the Authors of Pain and Roderick Strong and Pete. This is why I never make friends. Done. So this match was a lot of fun. I think everybody expected Undisputed Era to drop the titles in this match. Everybody on this call included, except for Brent, who is expecting a miracle, and goddamn if he didn't get one.
I'm pretty sure I predicted Undisputed.
Yes, you did. Omega and myself both predicted the Undisputed Era to win.
But neither man knew this was going to be how it happened.
Yeah.
This was
beautiful.
This was amazing.
So,
just get to the
match itself was great.
Just do the
Basically,
finish.
They took Adam Cole out in the first 5 minutes of the match, and he laid on a broken table for the rest of it, in pain.
Thank you, AOP.
Go have a nap.
Goodbye, Spanish announce table. The first time ever it was at NXT. The last time it's at NXT.
Hey, it did its job. So Adam Cole, he's out of this match. He did what he needed to do. He's done. Kyle O'Reilly pretty much represented Undisputed Era in this. Authors of Pain, Pete Dunne, Roderick Strong. The remaining five men all had fun throwing each other around, beating each other up. Pete Dunne had a lot of fun in this match, beating people up. I swear the child is not happy unless he's putting someone in pain. Worry about him a little bit. But yeah. So, like, there were spots in this match where at one point it's like O'Reilly and Dunne. O'Reilly went to do a German on Dunne and he flipped and he landed on his feet. And then he kicked, just like, booted Kyle O'Reilly in the back of the head, to which Kyle O'Reilly smiled.
He did.
This
I love that
won't
moment.
Huh?
I love that moment where he gets... Yeah, he gets the kick, and Kyle O'Reilly, like, hulks up for a second, and then just falls completely out of the ring.
It was great. This made me want Kyle versus Pete so bad.
Oh, man, well, that would be brutal.
Well, as she said that,
as hell.
She said that, and then they spent 2 minutes fighting each other, so...
It wasn't really fighting, it was like a slap fest.
Okay.
Like, they were just, you know, slapping each other back and forth.
They teased it a little bit. A little bit of foreplay.
Anyway, and AOP did their part. They threw people around. They were dominant. They did exactly what they needed to do. They added a little bit more brute force to this. But in the end, Pete Dunne hits, I think he hit the bitter end.
Hit the bitter end.
On Kyle O'Reilly. He's going for the pin. 1, 2, oh snap. Roderick Strong kicks him in the back of the head, kicks him off Kyle O'Reilly. And you're retaining tag team champions. Undisputed era.
Swerve
of the goddamn century. There's Brent's miracle.
Thank you, Roddy.
And your newest member for Undisputed, Roderick Strong, which O'Reilly and Cole's faces were everything.
Well, I just love the setup of that. Of they're sitting against the ropes and stunned at what happened, and Roderick walks up, grabs Cole's arm, pulls the armband off slowly, and puts it on. And you would have thought Adam Cole was at Christmas at that moment.
He was so happy.
He was elated.
So... Kyle O'Reilly still didn't know what to make of it. And Pete Dunne posted a very interesting reply to that, which was, it was him and his boys, or a picture of him and his boys, aka British Strong Style. So I have a really funny feeling we're going to get some squad wars going on here.
With the emoji.
Looks like Pete's got to round up the boys and they got to kick some butt, because he's not going to be happy about this, because he was fully expecting to walk out with another title and he didn't quite get it.
This was beautiful. this is the kind of heel turn I haven't seen in so long.
No, and it was such a slow burn for it too, because remember, Roddy had the chance a long time ago and was involved in the war with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And it just paid off.
Set the stage for it.
Well, one, you have to wonder, how long has he been in on it, or has he been in on it the whole time? And he's just been playing everybody. That thought does pop into your head, where it's like, I wonder.
Yeah, wonder. Well,
just Mr. Happy-Go-Lucky. He's the Boy Scout. He looks, you know, he has his family, and everything's great and cheery, and then at the perfect moment, bam, take him down.
I feel like where this goes back to is the UK title match from Strong and Dunne. It's like, I couldn't beat you then, so I'm going to take you all the way to the finals just to screw you over.
Yep, which was just not okay, because Pete Dunne's going to get up and he's going to kill everybody, if we all know Pete Dunne.
And doesn't Pete Dunne have a match tomorrow, too?
Is he defending the UK title?
Yeah, all of the tournaments this weekend result in matches with the champions, including the UK title.
Which would be tomorrow. I don't know exactly, but we can find this out as we go along.
Yeah, I'm not sure who he's facing, but I would doubt he loses the UK title.
They're not dropping the belts at Access.
Yeah.
If they had won the tag titles today, I would have thought differently, because that would have been an easy way to transition the UK title off of him.
Yes, but they're also taping TV next week. So,
there are
things that can be done to circumvent that.
So, I'm just going to say this about this match. I honestly did not come into this expecting to get screwed.
Yet?
WWE had other plans. So, thank you, WWE. A little bit more warning would have been nice.
When they decide to... Anyway, what's next?
Another word was used for screwed in the Skype conversation. Anyway! Up next, we have Andrade Cien Almas defending his title against Aleister Black. And when this came on, all of us went, oh crap, the main event's going to be epic.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever's happening in that, this is not gonna hold a candle to it, because it's gotta be really, really, really special to take the place of the title. So this match was a lot of fun. I have to say, Aleister Black, 100% about the aesthetics. Dude had the candles back in his little dressing room where he was warming up. He had the candles for his entrance. He had the fog. He raised up out of the fog. He did the whole thing. And then we had Andrade come out in his oddly silver pants. Wasn't quite feeling them. And his coat and his mask, and Zelina came out. She looked good. And this match got underway.
She was a star of this match. Like, she was a star. Like, there's no questions about it. She was a star.
But this match was amazing.
This was really good. You played up some old spots, stuff from the past where you played into the spots where Hal almost won the belt with the Hammerlock DDT after the knees into the post. You played up old spots. You had Zelina Vega get involved a lot. She kept trying to help her man.
She spiked Aleister Black on his head at one point.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he was almost just a little bit too tall for her to get over, but she still got the job done.
Oh, yeah. She got the job done.
It's like a surgeon with the head scissors.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this match, she was effective, but she wasn't effective because, well, she kind of cost Andrade the title.
So she connected four times. The fifth, well...
She connected. She just connected with connected. The wrong
person.
The wrong person.
Because what this match built to was Aleister trying to hit the Black Mass and Andrade finding a way to block the kick every time until eventually Zelina got involved and she jumps and Aleister moves and Andrade catches her and he's got her in his arms and then Alistair's able to take advantage of the distraction and hit the Black Mass on Andrade with a very solid thwack, I might add.
Can we talk about the Black Mass that when he turned on the back or on the spin of the kick and Andrade just smacked him in the back of the head and just about knocked him in the next week?
Yep.
Jesus, that was brutal.
That happened.
That was epic.
That was really epic, yeah.
There were a lot of really great spots. There was the stomp on the outside, which was a little awkward, but it looked cool.
Yeah, the double stomp
from the top rope.
That was epic.
The knees to the corner.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
On the outside.
It's fantastic. This was a great match. But Zelina Vega cost her man. A new Aleister Black, top of the hill.
Damn it. Yeah, damn it, Zelina.
That's okay. I will look forward to the rematch of this with much enthusiasm, because it's going to be awesome. Just saying.
She has the tools of being the total package, to quote Triple H.
On Zelina Vega?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see them put her in the women's division and let her wrestle in the women's division.
Oh, yeah.
And I think they're going to do that because I would suspect that Andrade is likely on his way up to the main roster.
Very soon.
They'll either keep her down in NXT or she'll go up with him and then she'll go on to the women's roster on one of the shows. But yeah, Zelina can go. Make no
I want
mistake
that pairing to remain.
Oh, the act works. It'll stay together.
Yeah. Only because also, for Andrade, he just floundered for so long without her that I think you need to at least bring them together for a while.
The act works. You keep it together.
Yeah.
I feel like, though, that you could have her win the women's title, him win a men's title or the men's title, and then they could be champions together, very similar to what the McMahon-Helmsley faction was way back in the day. You could do that.
You mean back in the Attitude Era?
I guess. Is that considered Attitude Era?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I'm just saying you could do something like it.
You could.
Exactly. But I'd like to see her be her own person outside of him and her get her own accolades because she's so good at what she does that I feel like it's a waste of her talent to just have her be his manager, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, she deserves to do her own thing, too.
And
that includes a title.
To update, is Peter Dunne versus Leo Rush tomorrow?
Oh, God, Leo. Leo, honey. Leo, don't do it. Don't do it.
Rock, who's facing Shayna?
I did not get that. I was only looking for the one.
Because I think it's either Dakota Kai or Peyton Royce who are going to be sacrificial lambs tomorrow.
I would assume it's
Dakota.
I would assume it's Dakota.
Oh, poor Dakota.
Poor Dakota.
I'll go look that up, but I think it's Dakota.
So, yes. So this was a fantastic match. We all had to take a breather real quick, because then we go to the main event. Good God, the main event of this show. Okay, so this was Johnny Gargano versus Tommaso Ciampa in an unsanctioned match.
All right.
Where if Johnny wins, he gets to come back to NXT, and if Tommaso wins, Johnny is gone for good. So,
we gotta go back to the pre-show.
Hold on.
Oh, WWE, why you break our heart?
Why did you make Candace cry? Why did you have to do that? That was so mean. That was not necessary at all. I will fight anybody that makes Candace LeRae cry. Just saying.
That, And then they talked to the ref while they were talking to Candace. And that sort of brought the tears.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that brought the dagger right there.
Now we go back to the main show. Go ahead.
Okay, back to the main show. So, Drake Younger played another part in this. He was the witness to Johnny signing the contract for the match with Triple H, which was a nice touch where Johnny's basically like, okay, yeah, this is official. We're going to do the thing. So, Drake is in the ring. He's not wearing a referee shirt. He's just wearing an NXT shirt. So he's not, it's, you know, it's that nice little touch of this really isn't official, but it's official kind of thing. So you had Tommaso come out first. No entrance theme, but really nice graphics. Bitchin' coat.
I want that jacket.
That jacket was epic. And the crowd was beautiful in this.
They were the soundtrack to his entrance.
They were the soundtrack to the entrance.
Oh, yeah.
In
the background must have been shitting themselves.
You know the people in the production truck just lost it.
It was F.U. Ciampa, F.U. Ciampa on repeat.
For like 2 minutes, it was F.U. Ciampa.
We had an asshole chant.
We had more F.U. Ciampas throughout the night.
Oh, the crowd was so on point through this whole match.
They helped make this match. Like, they were super into this and just helped make it. So, the craziness of this match. We had crutches, we had barricades, we had exposed floors, we had tables, we had two men beating the crap out of each other. We saw Tommaso Ciampa's full-on ass at one point.
There was a moon!
Ember, go away.
Yeah. One comment about Tommaso Ciampa's trucks. They were just a little small. Just a little bit small. So we were getting some nice little butt cheek action going on there. But yeah. Thoughts on this match, because I don't even remember all the crap that happened.
So we gotta go with the first big thing. So there's a spot where Gargano throws Ciampa into Percy Watson and it knocks out the mics for everyone, and the crowd just starts chanting, "Mamma mia."
I was just going to comment on that. The fact the crowd jumped in on commentary, essentially, was fantastic.
So, no, that was so on point. It would be the best chant of the match,
but on any other night.
Earlier in the match, Ciampa pulls up the mat outside the ring, all the padding to reveal the concrete, and that's Chekhov's gun. You know they're going to use that eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep teasing spots and suplexes on it. They get back to the ring. They eventually set up another spot where Gargano gets to the outside and power bombs Ciampa to the floor onto the concrete, and the crowd, "I love you, New Orleans," starts chanting, "You deserve it." It's amazing.
It's great.
It was.
And I love the commentators jumping in, essentially just like, "We're supposed to be impartial, but yes, he did."
So when...
Yeah, Nigel McGuinness standing for that was great. He's like, "Yep."
Yeah.
Yeah, he deserved that. Yep.
So when he hit the ground, you heard a thud.
Oh God, it was awful.
Yeah. You saw his head. It was brutal.
You want to talk about when he smacked his head? How about when he suplexed Johnny off the table and he smacked...
Yeah.
That was before that, too. Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah, Ciampa's... The back of Ciampa's head took so many hits.
Like, they need to check him for concussions, because, damn, he took some hits tonight.
The whole thing about this match is there was move after move where you're just like, oh, God, it's not going to get worse. Oh, God, it got worse. Oh, Jesus.
So, go ahead.
30 minutes.
Yeah. Like, something we don't see, they did a suplex onto the table lid. We don't ever see that.
Which was not really super effective.
No, it just sort of bent and he bounced, but it was different.
Can we talk about when Johnny lawn darted himself into the crowd on Tommaso?
There was that. We had a "You're a wanker" chant.
Yeah, that was new.
That was new. And then, because the whole thing is Ciampa's had crutches the entire time. And there was this Johnny wrestling fan in the crowd who had crutches.
No, plant.
Rock, get it right. It wasn't in the crowd. He was right at the barrier. No seat in sight.
He's...
Full leg brace. But somehow, no need to sit down.
Handicap viewing?
And can we also talk about the fact that the handles were way up, right where you need it to do a certain move, but not to actually hold the crutches?
Yeah, those were crutches for a T-Rex.
You know, it was the thing.
It was the one bit of cheese in this whole match. Like, okay, that's a little too set up.
We had a tug of war with the crutches, which was great.
I mean, if the guy was like sitting in a seat there, just like on the side of that aisle, so you had clear view of him and the leg brace and all that, and Ciampa just dragged him out of his seat to get the crutches. Mm-hmm. Again, just there's your Blackheart gimmicks. Like, I don't care if he's crippled. I want his weapon.
Speaking of Blackheart, Tommaso is just such the troll the entire match.
Oh, God. The clapping.
Like, the clapping. Is a Rock's gif. The one of him, he hits the move on Johnny and then does the clap and the pat on the back and then just instantly stone faces.
It's like, we need this gif. Need to be a thing.
It's the perfect reaction gif. It's amazing.
It really is.
But yeah, I mean, the best thing about this, though, was the storytelling throughout this. Because as the match wore on and the more tired they got, the more Tommaso realized Johnny was not going to be that easy to beat. And Johnny realized Tommaso wasn't going to be that easy to beat. And there were several spots where they're just kneeling there, out of breath, exhausted, beat to hell, looking at each other. And it's like, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to beat you. And you can see that in both of them. And there's almost this moment where you're looking at them and it's like, are they going to kiss and make up?
And yeah, and there was a spot. Okay, Ciampa takes the wrist tape off of his wrist. And he's going to choke Gargano with it. Gargano stops it. And then they're both holding the piece of tape as they're punching each other.
It was great.
Like, they wouldn't let go.
And then there's the other spot. The one where no words needed to be said. Johnny tries to hit him with the crutch. And Tommaso cowers. And then all of a sudden, Johnny sits.
Well, that's in the midst of a whole chain of events that leads to the finish of the match involving the knee brace.
Mm-hmm. We had the old DIY spot with the running knee, which was great.
Yeah. Like, all that starts with the double knee powerbomb from the middle rope.
That was insane.
God.
Where it's not enough to just get the brace off of his knee for the ending sequence. He actually, like, we have to storytell it, you know, and actually, like, okay, this is why he's trying to get the brace off. Great.
So he gets the knee brace off, and it's just, the crowd is going insane in this one.
God. So Ciampa tries to do the running knee, and running full speed at Gargano, Gargano grabs the knee brace and smacks it into the injured knee, and I just go, oh, Jesus.
And that's a
really brutal thing to do to a person.
And then he puts a bit of modified calf crusher with the knee brace to Tommaso's face.
Well, that was after the sit down.
Yeah, it was after.
Yeah. So they have the sit down moment where Tommaso cowers, Johnny sits there, and for a second that looked like a moment where, you know, do they both realize that what have we done and kind of try to reconcile. Tommaso grabs the knee brace and swings. Johnny rolls out of the way, goes for the
Gargano escape.
The Gargano escape, and then turns it into an STF with the brace as the crossface. And dear God, did it look incredibly ugly.
Because he didn't lay there with Tommaso. He jerked Tommaso back and got, it almost looked like he had Tommaso at like a 45 degree angle with all of his weight on his bad knee. It was like, holy crap, Johnny. And of course, Tommaso immediately taps because it's like, ow, 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 my knee, ow.
My knee, my face, my everything.
My everything. Yeah. Everything hurts. After this match, everything hurts. So yeah, so Johnny Gargano is victorious. He is allowed to come back to NXT, and the moment of the night, the moment of this match, is an overjoyed Candice LeRae running to the ring and hugging her husband after he's won the match, after he's beaten up Tommaso Ciampa. Justice is served. Everything is great. They're both happy, and we're all sitting here waiting for it to fade to black. Because
bad things happen
after the logo.
It's like, are they going to implode the internet here, or are we good? And thankfully, we're good.
Oh, bad things happen when Johnny Gargano ends a network event.
So, yeah, fantastic show.
It was this, the bar has been set.
Now,
we saw the rebirth of NXT tonight. The future is incredibly bright.
So, what have we been to? We talked about the tag team champions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here.
Mustache Mountain has just advanced. We just won the final of the NXT Tag Team Championship Tournament. And tomorrow, with WrestleMania Access, we face in this weird era for the NXT Tag Team Championships.
So if you didn't hear it, because it's really low under Twitter, Mustache Mountain versus Undisputed Era tomorrow morning.
Oh, somebody get video of that and put that up on the internet.
For the tag team titles.
Oh my god, I want to see that happen. Oh, that'll be fantastic. Trent and Tyler are going to get a little bit of vengeance on the boys, and Adam is in no shape, unless it's Roddy. It's Roddy and Kyle.
It's listed as Adam Cole and Kyle.
That's going to be his fourth match.
Poor Adam Cole. He did
Give
not sign up for this.
Give the boy a raise.
Omega, you don't know. It could be five.
I joked about it. It's like, between two championship victory, between championship victory, a title defense, and now a title defense at Access, a possible another title defense at Access, and DeAndre the Giant, you could have the most successful 24 hours in wrestling history.
I almost want them to do it.
If they could only televise all of those finals, that would be great for me.
I don't understand why they can't put it up on the network.
Because they want people to go there and see it.
Yeah, well, for those of us that are not there, we'd very much like to see it.
Some of us need points, Rock.
Yeah, I know. We all desperately need points too, and the thing. All right, quickly, Brent, run it down. Winners and losers.
Okay, I'm sorry?
The winners, go.
Okay, so four picks. Coming in tied for third place, we have Rock at 2-3.
Yay!
Lindsay at 2-3.
Woo!
The 8 ball at 2-3.
Yay!
And the coin at 2-3. Woo! And tied for first, your NXT analyst, TJ Omega, and myself, only getting easy 3 wrong.
Well done by you. So, that's NXT, but I have to address something, the elephant in the room. Alberto Del Rio.
# blame Rock.
You're fired!
Oh, we forgot to mention one thing.
Go ahead.
Since it's happening right now on my TV, Velveteen Dream ripped off Naomi's glow entrance.
Not just, I loved his pants, the voodoo dolls of his opponents.
Oh yeah, that was fantastic. Yeah. His whole look was great, but he ripped off her entrance. He needs to watch out for her, because she may take him out.
We also missed the best part of the ladder match, which was the 1 minute bromance between EC3 and Adam Cole.
Yeah. That's going to happen. That's going to be a thing.
So with that, we're done.
We're done, kind of. Because, we have a surprise appearance tomorrow. At least, I do. So if you're in the Tampa area at 9:30 in the morning, bright and early, yay! I'm appearing on what?
A local radio station in Florida. I'll have the details on our Twitter.
Yes, check out our Twitter. But it should be fun. So yeah, so Omega, where can they find you?
You can find me over on YouTube at TJ Omega, Twitter at TJ Omega, TJ Omega on Tumblr. I use everything now, as well as TJ Reviews over on Facebook. Find my stuff. I'm always posting content, and I may or may not be desperately trying to sell stuff right now.
Go to his eBay page. It's on his Twitter. Go buy his stuff. He has like 70 things on there. Go buy it. Go buy it. Go buy it. Go buy it. He needs things.
I am broke.
He's gonna
have things to buy.
He needs to go all Don West. Everything must go. Everything in a brown bag must go. Do it now. Buy his stuff. It's on twitter.com/TJOmega.
So Brent.
Don West reference. You gotta be kidding me.
There
Brent.
You go.
Yes.
I like how he threw that one. Hold on. I like how he threw that one in there.
Very nice. Where can we find you, Brent?
Well, when I'm not in class or in the basement at work, you can find me on Twitter, Kane Kittens, and it's now up to 1,630 days, # no days off.
All right, quickly, read off your fantasy team if you know it.
Mine?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Shinsuke Nakamura. Andre Cien Almas, Randy Orton, Becky Lynch, Carmella, AOP, Undisputed Era. Fuck, I don't know the rest of them.
Anyway, all those people need to have a really good day tomorrow if we want to take down Tim. So
they can't. Oh, Samoa Joe, who I hope makes an appearance tomorrow.
We want to take down Tim because reason.
Oh, and
we
last one
stop,
# Triple H Movement.
There you go. Well, that one won't happen. Anyway. What's next, Lindsay?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LNSWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitters. Our reviews of Timeless and The Royals will be available tomorrow right after the show's air, so check out the Twitter for that. And you can get all the past reviews for both those shows and the WrestleMania book or WrestleMania magazine and many other things on RackRadioShow.com. So
hold
for
on.
Omega.
Hold on. Hey. Hold on. I got stuff. I didn't do
I
anything.
I thought you plugged everything.
I didn't plug a thing.
Okay, go.
So, if you're in the chat room and listening to this voice and want to win a copy of the Book of Booty, go to our Twitter at Wild Talk Radio or go to wildtalkradio.com and, you know, get all the details. Give us your picks. You can win an autographed copy of the Book of Booty. That's number one. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, Rack Radio Show. It's on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. If you're listening to this program live, I will see you in 13 minutes. If not, please check out CB Radio every Saturday night, midnight is CBRadioLive.com, and this show will be back live Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, to review the granddaddy of them all, WrestleMania. Also, check out Omega live tomorrow night, midnight-ish, on Wrestle Talk Radio.
We good?
Yeah.
All right, so for Brent, for Omega, for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to the Rack Extra Reviews, NXT TakeOver Edition, and we will be back in the many coming days, you just heard him tell you when, with all things WrestleMania. So till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.